Welcome to Messy Buns Podcast. I'm Mary.
This is Elise.
And we just recently listened to an amazing high school valedictorian speech that blew our minds, and we can't wait to share it with you today. What do you think?
Oh my gosh, I can't believe this kid is 18.
18? What was I doing at 18?
Not that.
You didn't know me at 18. Maybe I was doing that.
I knew you after 18. Break it down.
I want to be like, vanity, vanity. Which is why I'm not a backup singer. Never will be. Horrible at singing. I have,
But you're a rapper.
I have like my guilt face on.
Oh, uh-oh.
I have a story to tell you.
With your guilt face? Okay, give
no,
it to me.
I, actually, now that I think about it, I don't have anything to feel guilty about, but I have another Catholic Mass story.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay.
See, I knew that was going to happen. This one did not end the same way, but it came close. Okay.
Oh,
so,
no.
No, I know.
Oh,
I know.
I'm really
excited
now.
Y'all don't know
now.
What we're talking about. Well, it was one of the first episode
yeah.
or second episode we ever recorded. I told a story about how I was mean at a Mexican Mass
yeah.
in Mexico. So if you want a reference, go find that. But, okay, so Christmas Eve, so this was a few weeks ago. We would do the late Mass because we love, I don't want to say where it is, but we love the music. What do you call it? Orchestra? They have like an orchestra.
Choir?
It just sounds like heavenly. Yeah, like a choir.
Yeah.
And so we went late. We brought Bella and... So they start playing the music before everybody gets there. Right. So we
get set them in.
And we want to get a good seat. So we got there 30 minutes early. Okay, this is important to the story.
Oh, yeah. Normally, you got to get there like an hour for
we
Christmas.
We got there 30 minutes yeah. early with Bella. And it's a later Mass.
Right,
so
right.
not many children are there. Well, we go into the pew, you know, we sat down. Mm-hmm. There was like an older lady sitting down the row from us and another man. There weren't too many people in the pew. Well, a family came like ten minutes after us.
Mm-hmm.
Still plenty of time before Mass began.
Mm-hmm.
And they the way we were sitting in the pew, it separated them. So I was like, well, this is silly. Like, let's get up and move so they can sit together.
This was at Arleo Lake.
I was trying not to say the name.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Well, that's not relevant. It's okay. It's okay. Our Lady of the Lake. It's fine.
I was saying that because of the pews. That's like the only one that has those like
you're
dividers.
Right. Okay.
I'm
give
sorry.
It away. Oh, no. It's totally fine. It's not anything bad against okay. Our Lady of the Lake. So it's fine.
Our Lady of
so,
Peach.
Our Lady of the Peach.
That's what I always, instead of saying Mary Queen of Peace, I used to always type Mary Queen of Peach.
Peach.
Anyways. Okay. Sorry.
Okay. So, So I got up and moved next to this older lady. Bella was in my lap. And as I'm sitting down, she whispers, I don't want her.
What?
Yes, I'm serious.
I don't want her?
I don't want her. I assumed she was talking about Bella, who was being very, she was giggling. She was giggling a little bit, but she was overall very well behaved.
Right.
And this woman like scoots over and she says, I don't want her.
Well, we weren't offering her to you.
Like, well, what I think it was is she didn't want to sit next to a child. Like, she went to this. No.
Well, you get up and go find another seat.
I know. But she said it so I could hear it. And I was baffled. I was first I felt like awful. And then I was like, what do I do? This is so awkward. I'm just sitting here. And again, Mass wasn't even starting for another 15 minutes.
Right.
And then Bella was just, she was giggling. She wasn't being bad. She just was giggling a little bit. She was excited to be out so late.
Yeah.
And
every kid is like that.
She turns and says, shh. Like, before I could even get, like, I was telling Bella to shh before I could get it out of my mouth. And I'm like, oh no. I literally thought, we're going to have another I was mean at a Mexican Mass situation.
The mama
no,
starts coming out.
I more felt like I felt attacked. I wasn't but
sadly, unfortunately, I think those like in those situations, they're just elderly and they're often I feel like they're not in their right mind. And I, like, I don't mean to be that mean, but it's often that they're, when somebody is that directly, like, inappropriate like that, it's sadly, it's usually because they have some kind of mental disability or something.
A few minutes later, she asked the guy who I think she was with, she just didn't talk to anybody, to switch. And she sat at the end of the pew. It just made me feel like bad, you know? But I know a lot of women have the, maybe have these experiences a lot, especially with more kids. Yeah. They deal with this all the time.
Yeah, I've heard it from my sisters, from friends.
But this is the first time. Bella's 3.5. This is the first time it ever happened. You know,
yeah,
I've only had good things. Oh, wow. Like people like praising her.
I've heard some horror stories. So
it's rough. It's rough out there. But anyway,
wow.
That's my story.
Wait, she said,
I don't want her. You know what I think of when I...
It's in those moments I want to be like, well, that's okay, because we want her. Like, actually, we're not giving her up.
Like, don't you know I'm infertile, woman? No, I'm just kidding.
It all comes back to that.
But
I'm infertile!
Dang it. No, I'm totally kidding. But no, but seriously. But when I hear it replay in my mind, right, all I hear is, I'm going to get you, my pretty. Who says that? What is that from?
Oh, my gosh.
Snow White, Seven.
No.
What is it? Sleeping Beauty?
No. I can't
get
think.
It together, oh Elise.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Oh,
follow
Wizard of Oz. You couldn't think of Wizard of Oz. No, all you could think of, follow the Yellow Brick Road. That's great.
I told you, that's my brain is like mushed.
My fairy tales are all kinds of jumbled up.
I don't know, but
speaking of fairy tales,
yeah,
this is not one of those, but it's an amazing
transition.
Girl, I try. This most amazing speech.
Oh, so, my gosh.
Well, you found this speech and you just texted it to me because I text things sometimes.
But I also just texted it to the world. I like when I find something that I find like truly like life changing and inspirational. It's like this thing within me that I have to immediately blast it to the world.
I do the same thing. I'm like sitting here with things, not this necessarily, other things. Like, who can I send this to?
I'm like, my heart was changed. This will change you and you.
Yes,
you know, it's just so, I mean, like I immediately started, you know, showing it to everybody. And I was just blown away by this young man who at first I think all of us kind of thought it was a college. But then, you know, listening to it, you know, you find out that it's actually high school.
Well, first, we'll put the link down in show notes. So if you want to watch this, you can. That's all I wanted to say.
Perfect. Awesome. So we're going to break this up. Basically, this kid is a valedictorian. He's giving the graduation speech. And
it's at a school called the King's Academy. He said he was there for 14 years.
Right. So he was probably there, you know, all the way through.
Yeah.
So but it's what happens is really surprising. And that's what makes the speech. So he starts out and you're thinking that he's going to go in one direction and then completely like does like a 180. And I just love it. So do you want to play the?
Yeah.
So we're going to start out with playing just a little bit of it. New technology, sorry.
I was going to give you some Wizard of Oz music, but I couldn't think of the tune.
Okay, sorry.
And at our senior award ceremony, it felt so good when I heard my name announced with this title. It's so good. For about 15 seconds. Yeah, 15 seconds of my heart racing and my adrenaline pumping. 15 seconds of, yeah, I won! 15 seconds of being at the top of the pile of all my accomplishments, and it felt euphoric. But there must come a 16th second. And on that 16th second, sat down in my seat, I looked at my silver stole that says valedictorian.
Sorry, I let it go a little
long.
You
were so into it, I forgot to stop it. I was waiting, like the mic drop. I just, first of all, the title of this, it says is the 16th second. I am a sucker for like a solid title like that.
You're really good at it too.
Oh, thank you.
Oh my gosh, you are. You're very good at it.
But so, anyway.
Yeah. So the 16th second, so basically he goes on to talk about the fact that like, you know, here he was at the top of his game, you know, in a sense, in his high school career. And he goes and he gets the award and then he gets the award. And it's over.
I'm like, okay, great. Now what?
And yeah, he was basically like, I felt nothing. Like, he literally felt nothing is what he said.
So much wisdom from anyone, but the fact that he's 18 and graduating high school is just, it puts so much more into it. And it's what was I thinking at that age, like, to be so wise? But I also think he talked about, you know, feeling euphoric and like, there's, I think that this speaks to something bigger, like we've been talking about in the last few weeks about instant gratification and like pleasures, kind of like just in general of these things that we build up that are so amazing and they're gone.
Right.
Like, what about the 16th second to live our life in a way that the 16th second is actually meaningful?
Right. I mean, and it's kind of too like relating it to just like living an authentic Christian life. You know what I mean? Yeah. Is like, it's easy to do what the rest of the people are doing, but in that 16 second, meaning like when we die, when we face God, like, was it worth it? You know, was it truly worth it? And like having like that near death experience, like, I can truly say, like, it's one of those things where it's like, wait, crap. Like, was, you know, like, and did I do what I wanted to do? You know what I mean?
It's kind of like you feel like you have a party and then everybody leaves and it's that stillness. Right. Or like something exciting happens, but then it's over.
Well, it's like,
how do you feel like is a reflection of the decisions that we make.
Well, it's like brides. So I was a wedding photographer for many, many years. And you'd see this like almost like depression after a wedding, because there was so much focus on the event itself. And then when it's over, you're left with the relationship. And so very quickly see if if it was about the wedding
quality or of the relationship and the marriage itself.
Exactly. So, and so he's at a very young age recognizing this. There we go. Elise can talk. But what I love is that he, and this is like where I feel like we're very similar in this, is like, so he has this moment where he's like, I felt nothing. And he was so confused by it. He was like, I was distressed by it, basically, you know. And he's like, I had to figure it out.
Yeah, I wrote that down too. It was one of my notes. So this is, we have all the same notes.
I know. I love it because we think so similarly. So I love that because he was like, you know, like what kid at that age, like they're like graduation, this, that, and the other thing. And he was like, why, when this was something so big, you know, and I worked so hard for it, like what is wrong here? Well, like he like soul searched.
The important
thing
is that he was introspective. Yes. What is the typical go-to, whether you're in high school or any other age?
Right.
Drugs, alcohol, porn,
right,
sex, you name it.
Right.
It's what we do in that 16th second that really kind of starts to
define us. Yeah. Absolutely.
So let's make decisions in the 1 through 15 seconds that make the 16th second meaningful, because we don't live a life of instant gratification. It's just not what the cross is.
Right.
It's just not. The cross is long. We have to endure through it. And then the resurrection comes through the cross.
Right. And what struck me, though, is the fact that he wasn't an instant gratification. In fact, he said like a year prior, he was like, I found out that I was up for being a valedictorian. So I made it like he was like, I got to work, basically.
Yeah.
And what I loved about it was that here's a kid who sacrificed a lot for this goal. And what he was then saying was, what was the point of it? You know, and was the sacrifice worth it? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which that brings me to the next quote. Are you ready for that?
Real quick.
Yeah.
Because like, I think we talk a lot about how like, all right, we try at least to be good Christians, Catholics. So we're not going out there and doing the obvious things. So we can't forget that it can be things like working too hard putting an achievement like that above relationships, that it can get confusing.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, in
I'm
our
so
own
glad
lives, we have to
that.
Figure out
right.
what are these things, because the devil is not going to, like, I'm not going to go murder someone.
Right.
I'm not going to go have sex with someone that's not my husband. You know, not to say we don't have struggles. I mean, people don't have struggles, but I'm just saying, like, we have to be more introspective like this. And that's the value of him looking at himself when he sat in that feeling of nothing.
Well, and I love it because, you know, we're going to do a podcast basically that's like, at least I didn't murder someone, you know, which I'm introducing it early. But basically, it's about that concept. That you were just saying, that, you know, it's so easy for people who are living a relatively good, upright life to look at people,
complacent.
And be like, oh, look at them, look at what they're doing. But yet, there's some really potent sins that we have like this, where we put things above, you know, valuable relationships, or our priorities are so messed up that they can be seriously just as you know, just as self-deprecating and detrimental to our lives mm-hmm. as what we perceive as these bigger sins. That's you know right. what I mean? That it's are scary. Obvious to the world, mm-hmm. you know? And it's like, if we aren't self-reflecting, if we aren't going to that quiet place with him and asking the Lord to show us, you know, like, then we are really, you know, it's kind of scary what we can miss, yep. you know? So I think that I'm so glad you said that. Oh my gosh. So the next, what he goes on to say, and this is where he was like, after the self-reflection, this mm-hmm. is where this quote comes in. He said, "Working hard is good. It is in fact biblical." I love that. "But it should not be done for the sole purpose of a goal's sake at the expense of a relationship with others. Looking back on this year,
turn the page.
I realized that the stress of this year for this goal in a 5.5 minute speech," I loved it because he was like showing how ridiculous it is, you know, "was paid for with the lack of attending to relationships in my life." Oh,
Who wrote this for this child?
I know.
But you know he wrote it because you can see how charismatic
he's very passionate.
Okay, first of all, as two speakers, like I was watching that, trying to learn from him.
I'm just like
he was
amazed
such
that he
a
was,
great right. speaker. How you can have that the boldness and the confidence to speak with such authority
and like, eloquence,
authenticity. Yeah. At that age, anyway, just a little sidetrack.
Yeah, Will was like, yeah, he's going places. And I'm like, I agree. But the fact, I love that he said was paid for.
I love
with
the
lack
word,
of attending. Yeah, paid for, because that's what he's saying, is that our choices always have a consequence, whether it's good or bad. And like, was the consequence worth it? And what he was saying was no. Like he missed out because he was so focused on this goal, you know, and what did it get him? But, you know, like literally 2 seconds of woo and a 5 minute speech, you know.
And I also the part where he said for the sole purpose of a goal's sake, we can't be so focused on a goal that we lose sight of what is actually important. Like
absolutely.
Your wedding analogy.
Yes.
Like the wedding is not the goal. The marriage is the goal.
Right.
And I think it's a great analogy that we can compare
absolutely.
To anything in life. Like, am I doing this for the right reasons?
Right.
Period.
Well, and I think too, even like, and I've shared this with you, like you can take anything good and at some point it can turn into something that is not healthy, you know? Yeah. And like, for instance, you know, we've had a lot of time to reflect since we left the church. And, you know, I was praying every day, going a spiritual direction. But at some point there were points where like my goal, I was putting the youth group above my marriage. I was putting the youth group above you. I was putting it above my sisters. Like I was putting, like I was letting all those relationships get pushed to the side so that I could attain this goal for these kids. And now, you know, having stepped back from it, realizing what I lost, you know, and what I missed out on and the way that my relationship with Will was affected because of it, you know, and not to say that it was all bad at all. But my point being is that even good things like working for the church,
it's
you know,
too easy to say like, no, I'm doing this for God, I'm service.
Others. Oh, it's for
There's
Jesus.
There's nothing else that I have to think, but we have to remember what our priorities are.
Right. And that's the thing is like our number one priority needs to be our relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. And I used to say that to the kids, like with formation, like if you can't facilitate a good relationship with Christ, then you don't need to be on our junior core team. Like not because you're not worthy of it, because that relationship is so much more important than you being a part of even youth group,
Absolutely.
You know? So, I mean, there's, you know, and we used to tell the kids like God first, family second, you know, family second, then friends, and then your extracurriculars, mm-hmm. which is what youth group was. You know what I mean?
Yeah, my mom used to always say, "I am third,
Ooh,
like God,
that's good. Yeah,
others, self."
Yeah, and it, but it's just funny, and I think that that's really important, you know, especially when talking to Catholics, Christians, you know, that we recognize that just because we're saying it's for God doesn't always mean it's a good thing.
That's
you know?
So true.
So anyways, I have more quotes. Do you want to go on with one?
I have a long quote, but I wrote a little note in between my neck before my long quote. I can't speak. I'm sorry. Man,
our brains like are just like
contagious,
blah, 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 blah,
contagious today.
Yeah.
But I just love how he implored his classmates to do some self-reflecting. He addressed his class. I'm so bold. I'm so impressed.
No.
Classmates, do some self-reflecting. It actually doesn't really matter what he says after that. But just to have a young man encourage and hold his classmates accountable to say, hey, do some self-reflecting. That is a valuable tool that we all take into our adulthood, no matter what age.
Right.
Do some self-reflecting.
And that's probably one of the biggest problems. And especially, you know, having worked, both of us having worked with youth, like you said, instead of self-reflecting, we turn to numbing agents.
Yes.
You know, and so for him to be like,
don't do the numbing agents.
Yeah, don't go out party and have sex and like do all these other things. Go eat a bunch of ho-hos or, you know, Little Debbie's.
Do you have to use ho-hos as an example?
Of course I do. Of course I do. You know me.
Ho-hos? Does that actually exist?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. You forget my mother was very healthy and I don't know about these dirty, naughty snacks. I don't know about
these ho-hos.
But I would like to try one. Thank you.
Okay. I'll get you one.
This next quote I have, you have to have the same one.
Oh, I'm sure.
But I'll read it. He says, friends, we are about to launch into life and we haven't messed anything up yet.
I love that.
Now think, instead of academics taking the focus off your relationships, it was your career you chose over your spouse. Instead of sports, it's money that you pursue at the detriment of your children. Instead of just the Instagram-worthy picture, it's striving to be famous at the expense of time with your friends because now you're too self-involved.
I know. I like it because he not only addresses his peers, he then goes on to address like almost like the parents' choices and like administrators.
This is absolutely just as helpful and meaningful for parents and adults as it is for children. I mean, high school.
But the fact that he's even thinking about these things, I just.
So beyond his years.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It really is. Well, and I had a quote before that I think.
I'm so sorry.
No. I think because it goes on, because he's talking about, you know, like relationships, right? And how important they are. So I really like this because he said, have no regrets in the 16th second. Okay.
Yes.
He said, nothing is more important than our healthy relationships. Nothing, not your goals, not your successes. And here is why. I know. With so much authority, relationships are where we get to influence, impact, and change people's lives. Your life cannot be meaningful without them. And we are put on this earth by our Creator, and we all have a purpose to advance God's kingdom that all may be saved.
I wrote down something. No, I know. What I really loved, because I wrote that down too, is how he put emphasis on the word get. He says relationships are where we get to influence. He intentionally said we get to do this.
Yeah.
It's an honor. It's a responsibility. It's a privilege that we can impact other people's lives with the way that we live our own.
Right.
So do it intentionally. I just love how he made it. Like, we get to do this. It's not a chore that we have to make, you know, be a good example. And, you know, this is a good thing.
Well, and when we're focused on the right things, when we're focused on the relationships, it's, you know, it's so easy to get caught up in, you know, these goals or whatever. And like your friend comes to you and you're like, oh, well, I don't have time right now. Like I've got to finish this project, or, you know, I've got to do this, you know, well, I'm working overtime right now. I really don't have time for you, you know? And it, you know, again, like we've talked about this, like even with doing the youth group, like it was so easy for me to be like, well, I've got all this youth group stuff and I don't have time to come and hang out with you and Chris, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, but that's the most important relationships. And it's so funny because you'll figure this out. Like when things are stripped away, who's there for you? You know?
Yeah.
It's not all the people from, you know, the youth group, you know.
They're not going to hold your hand.
Right. It's my best friends who are there. And that's no, of course, cut to the church community or anything like that. But like that's where those important relationships are. And you need to value those people and realize that at every point, like if they need you, not to say that you can always drop everything, but like they're more important than this thing, you know, their sanity, their well-being, them feeling loved and somebody feeling loved is so much more important. And that's why we did relational ministry and we always do relational ministry, because you cannot have somebody understand the heart of Christ without being in relationship. You know, mm-hmm. you have to form trust between them. You have to take time with these kids and with these people in order, because I'm sorry, somebody coming up to you and just being like, Jesus loves you. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, exactly. You're going to be like, peace out. You don't know me. You don't know my heart. You don't know what I've been through. You know what I mean? So it's like,
that's a good point.
Oh my goodness. I just keep on this kid.
Well, and also, as we've talked about before, about boundaries and knowing when mm-hmm. to say no.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
But you have to understand these points you're explaining.
Right.
To have the strength to even say no, or understand why it's good to say no. Right. It's so hard.
Oh my gosh, it's so hard.
I thought it was kind of cute how he admitted to, he goes, I know this is kind of a downer speech.
I know.
He said, but I don't care. Because a lesson learned should be a lesson shared. It could not be more accurate. I think that's why we want to do this.
Yes.
You know, like I mean, the average person, I think anytime you learn something, you want to share that.
Well, and it's that whole, this keeps coming back up in so many ways. It's so funny because it came up in my personal life this week very strongly is like, you know, we love testimonies, you know?
Yeah.
And like, that's what he's talking about is like, when you experience something and you've grown from it, even though, you know, in a sense, he's like somewhat embarrassed. Like what I loved is when everybody started clapping in the beginning because he was like, and I did it. And everybody was like, woo. And he kind of was like, you don't know where I'm going.
Give me a few more minutes.
Just give me and I will burst this bubble, you know, because he was like he saw how it didn't mean anything. That's, you know what I mean?
True.
And like I just loved that. You know what I mean?
And he was still able to be so bold. I don't know. I just think of when I'm up there speaking, sometimes you feed off the audience and every little thing that you pick up from the audience affects you. Mm-hmm. You know, Satan like explodes it in your brain. Mm-hmm. It's just hard to have this, to hold the same confidence sometimes and be able to like communicate with authority. But he just sailed through it.
Oh,
it was just so beautiful and convicting. And I think that makes the speech, which is already on paper, this amazing speech. But the way he was able to deliver it so confidently really drove it home.
And that's because of that self-reflection.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the only way that happened.
You can leave my high five hanging?
I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. Oh, my gosh. And I think that's where the difference is like, it's not about this kid being more wise. It's about the fact that he took the time to open his heart to Christ and to be like, to bring it to him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And the weeks that I just am like, I don't, you know, you have those blocked weeks and you're like, you avoid prayer. Like nothing makes sense. And I can go through a week where I'm struggling to pray, but I do it, you know, and like 30 minutes I'm wrestling the whole time. But that week is just different, you know, compared to the weeks that like I slack off and I don't pray, you know.
Yes.
Life makes more sense, you know. And that's the thing is like we have so many people running from exactly what he's talking about, that uncomfortable feeling that. Wait, this was supposed to be this, and why isn't it? Why didn't it produce this feeling? Why didn't it produce this experience for me? And so instead of figuring that out, taking the time to do that, they're running away from it. And then it just builds and builds and builds and builds, you know?
Yes.
And it's just like, man, we got to take that silence. And I love it. Father Mike Schmidt, he does this whole, one of his Ascension videos on the value of silence.
And, oh, yes, I think I saw that. I think you shared that with me years ago.
Yeah, in youth group.
And
he talks about how, you know, people are afraid of silence because when we're silent, everything starts coming to the surface, you know. And I remember when I first started like really trying to pray in silence, and I'm talking like clearing your head and not like being like blah, 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 to God, like, but actually trying to listen for his voice. Man, it is like a rush of crap that comes to the surface. And he's like, do not be afraid of that. Like, don't run from that. And he was like, invite God into that. And that was like the first time I was like, oh, that's what I do with that. Like, I thought I was the only one that like was overwhelmed by the silence. And mm-hmm. and he's like, no, like the reason is because this now the voices are coming out because you've been shoving them mm-hmm. down for so long. So now all this stuff is coming to the surface. Don't run from it because it's just going to get louder.
So many of us avoid prayer, myself mm-hmm. included, because we feel like we have to approach Jesus perfect. Mm-hmm. And that's what's hard about that silence. It's because we start to recognize how imperfect we are. And it's like, I'm not worthy. I can't look at this. I'm too bad. You don't want me. You don't want this.
Well, and even like for me, I think I run at times, I'm running from my real feelings. You know what I mean? Like I'm running from like, man, I'm just broken. And instead of just being like, hey, I'm broken. This is what I really need. Like I had this, I told you this like the other week or this week. Was it earlier this week?
I don't know what you're going to say. So I don't know.
You should know, Mary. Gosh. We don't have telekinesis yet. It's when I had that day where I called you and I was just like really broken and I hadn't like there was a situation that I was really like on my heart and like I hadn't even been able to cry about it yet. Mm-hmm. And I finally like broke down in tears and was just like, "Listen, Lord, like I need your tenderness. I need your love. I always go to prayer and I'm like, I'll take your suffering and I'll bear whatever your will is, Lord.
It's
and
just it's a personality.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. Oh my gosh. But for once I actually said what I really needed, which was I needed the tenderness of the Father. And because I was honest and vulnerable, because I went like, and I think that's what's so important is that vulnerability and going and being like, Daddy, I need you. Like, I need you. And let me tell you, he just like outpoured so much love on me this week.
I'm listening to you like bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I'm just, like, forget about this speech. Tell me more. You're just like teaching me right now.
No. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, it was just this really big thing for me this week. You know what I mean? That that vulnerability in prayer, because I always go with this almost armor on, another Brené Brown. Like I'm putting this armor up, like, I'll take it, Lord. I'll take everything on. I'll suffer for you. Mm-hmm. And like,
bring it
and
on.
And I never just say, Daddy, like, my heart is broken and nothing's going to fix this but you, you know? And I need to know I'm loved. And that's what I did for like the first time. And
you're like still getting it days later. Oh my gosh. You're like, just still receiving. He has so much love to pour out to us. Like I'm saying the words and they're coming out of my mouth, but like I'm not experiencing that like you are right now. Like I know the words are true, but it's just so hard to take that into our life and mean it and be able to like do that.
Well, this is like 34 years of not doing it, you know, because like I told you every time I would get prayed over or somebody would pray with me, it would be like, Elise, let go. And I'd be like, what does that mean? You know? And like, what I really think that's what it means is like, stop trying to be what you think I want you to be and just be honest with me and tell me what you need from me. You know, tell me your heart. You know what I mean? And like, I think for the first time, it was like a total surrender moment. You know what I mean?
I'm gonna be like, great idea. How do I do that now?
I literally would get so mad. Like I'm telling you from the time I was little and getting prayed over to like, it's just like every single time, at least one of the things that somebody says to me is like, and he's saying to let go. And I'm like, oh my gosh, if I get that one more freaking time. Anyways.
Hey, we're really like doing the, okay, anyway, I'm going to move on. But I wanted to, we can't forget about God's grace because, I mean, God obviously gave this young man like tons of grace, but you just talked about how they were cheering and applauding and he was like, wait a little bit longer. But the grace that he had to be confident in himself, like regardless of what anybody else was going to think about him. How many times do we hold ourselves back because we're questioning ourselves, our gifts, our talents, things that we're supposed to use and we just don't do it because of what other people are going to think. I think that's something else to kind of point out in this as well. Because the message that he was delivering is so countercultural. Mm. And he's standing up there in front of tons of people. We can learn from that.
Like the administrative faculty. Oh, he's telling the administrative educational faculty that being the valedictorian was the worst decision. Yeah. And like, I mean, what teachers are always like, you know, oh, my class class is the most important. You know what yes. I mean? So like for him to have the courage to do that, I mean, who knows what they could have like done, you know, because sadly there's people, you know, adults that act like kids because they're not secure enough in themselves. Like he could have really gotten like.
That's true. Well, I mean, and there's like tons of shares and stuff. So I think it's only probably doing good for the school either way. Right. But the reality is that there are people out there like that.
So crazy. Oh, my goodness.
We have just a little bit more quotes, I think. But the next one I have is he says, I don't know if this is an exact quote, but he said, as you live your life on earth, there is no greater good that you can do for a person than to love them so much that you point them to Jesus Christ. He should be your first relationship that you cannot neglect. I'm talking about priorities here. Mm-hmm. Like you said before, oh, like God first, family second, I am third. You know, I just love that he puts Jesus before everything else. Like he's the most important person you cannot neglect. And when you don't neglect him, the other things work out really nicely.
Well, and then he
not always easily. Right, I don't want to confuse that. Exactly. But if things are fall into place, it's just more fulfilling life overall.
Right. Well, and he goes on. What I love is that he goes on to be like, if you haven't started a relationship with him yet, there's no better time basically to start, you know, especially like in this transitional time of life, how powerful that is. And I forget, I wish I had written that down because there was more to it that he said in there. But it was
have care for that relationship above all others and then prioritize what's important after that. Was it more than that? Probably.
Yeah, it was. Well, it was specifically when he addressed his like peers and was saying like, you need to start a personal relationship with Jesus, you know, and I just, you know, he was like, there's nothing more important than that, like you were saying, but it was something anyways, y'all have to definitely go listen to the talk because there's nothing we can talk about it all day long. But once you hear this kid actually saying it, it takes it to a whole different level. So I just I am totally blown away. And, you know, I think listening to it, he even called us on, you know what I mean? Like he calls you on in your heart and you're like, yeah, like I said, I can look back on my life and be like, yeah, I can identify where I chose the wrong priorities, you know, and where I have a habit of doing that. And it's something that I'm really working on, you know? Mm-hmm. So for him at this young age, what I loved is he said, what I'm glad is that I only did this for a year. Cause that's the precursor to when he was saying, you know, when you choose a job over your spouse and, you know, all these other things that you had said before, like that was the precursor to that, you know? And he was like, thank God I learned this lesson now. Yeah. And I only lost a year.
We didn't mess anything up yet. Right. We didn't talk about that a lot, but I love that he said that. Gosh, it's so true. How many of us wish we could go back before we started messing stuff up, right?
Oh, I know. It's so true.
And to have the foreknowledge, is that a word? I have no idea. Forethought to say, y'all, we haven't messed at least too much up yet. Right. Like, let's make good decisions going forward.
Right.
But I also think it was intentional to address the adults. Because end, he talks about some more stuff and he says it's not too late to mend fractured relationships. How many adults need to hear that?
I mean, there was definitely, I'm like, this boy has been through some things, you know, like I feel like you can't have that kind of insight without experiencing certain sufferings, you know what I mean, at that age, you know. And maybe not, maybe it's his friends who have, but he's definitely insightful. Like he's somebody who takes in his surroundings and the relationships around him and then learns from them and builds off of them.
Surely,
you know?
He already has like 17 job offers.
Oh, I know. Scholarships. Oh, seriously. I mean, it's ridiculous. Yeah. I think that's, it's just so important.
And he ended it something like, have no regrets in the 16th second. And then he dropped the mic and did a cartwheel and a backflip off the stage. I made that last part up, but like.
But it felt like it. It felt like it. And he, like, even, yeah, it's just crazy how you, he addressed so much in this speech. Like, it's ridiculous. Like you said, mending fractured relationships. And he was talking about, like, just do it. Like, don't hold back.
Don't think. Just
like,
do it.
Humble
just do
he said, humble yourself and start a conversation. Have no regrets in the 16 seconds.
Oh, yes. You just said that. What's that? You were like, and then you just like put your elbows on the table and you were like.
Well, I mean, like how many of us like can't, and like, I, you know, it's so hard to say sorry sometimes. It's so hard to, when you've been hurt by somebody, reach out further and be like, hey, we need to talk, or we need to, you know what I mean? But you just need to do it.
Right.
You know?
Just need to forgive. Sometimes you can't hash it all out.
Exactly.
Just need to forgive.
So, yeah, this boy is wise, and you know, it'd be interesting to see where he goes in life. But
thank you so much for sharing this with me.
You're so welcome. I forget who shared it. I mean, I found it on Facebook from somebody's post.
Well, I just in general love to see young people talking like this.
Mm-hmm.
The message is great no matter what the age is. It was like an 18-year-old or whatever old he is. That's just really awesome.
Yeah. And addressing all of those people. I mean, there's nothing more powerful than that, I think, because you can't, it's just that out of the, even though he's 18 or 17, like, it's out of the mouths of babes. You know what I mean? Like, there's just, it's so much more pure and impactful, you know, I think even for the adult heart, you know, like, yes, coming from your peer, but
from someone younger, maybe.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean,
I don't know.
I don't know how you couldn't, you know, listen to that talk and not receive anything, but you know,
I have a word for you. I'm really kind of excited about the definition.
Ooh.
If that helps you with it at all. No. Okay. The word is impish.
Oh, I already know what this word is.
Oh, really?
Well, somewhat.
Maybe so, yeah.
An imp is like a demon, ish.
This it's is like new a, to me. A demon?
Yeah. It's like a little, I don't know how to say it. Like, but yeah, like in stories and folklore and all kinds of stuff. Like,
so if you're impish, you're like a little demon-like-ish?
I know. That's what I always knew it to be.
Okay. Wait, this is not far off. So it says mischievous, inclined to do slightly naughty things for fun. I knew you'd love that. The sentence is, he approached her with an impish grin on his face. Oh, okay. But anyway.
that just went in a whole different direction.
Maybe I didn't read the whole sentence, the definition, before I decided to share it. But anyway, that was a fun conversation. We're so grateful to have you guys hang out with us today.
We have so many hand motions.
With us today. So yeah, I know. Really do. Talk with our hands a little bit. Are you Italian?
No, but I grew up around like 100% Italians.
Okay.
So like literally, all my friends' parents were Italians.
I'm Italian. I'll share some of my Italian with you if you want some.
Oh, and my sisters are part Italian.
That sounds weird that you say your sisters are, but you're not.
Well, yeah.
Anyway.
Happies. That's a whole other conversation.
We'll see y'all next time.
Bye.
Hey, y'all, please rate us and follow us if you are about what we talk about.
And share, please.
Yeah,
share. Get the word out about this podcast since we're new.
Yeah. And have a good Tuesday.
Bye.
Bye.